Oh, there I am. There's no notices, apparently. But I've got a little notice. You know, we've been after the casino, haven't we, for about 25 years, it feels like. Well, this week, the contract arrived. I've no idea what it means. No, we've had a little read through it, and we're going to get a solicitor to look at it for us. But basically, it's everything we've asked for, and it's all relatively straightforward. Basically, 4 years rent-free. It's not bad, is it? To quote Ian Duffy, what's not to like? That's great, isn't it? So that's exciting news for us. So today we're continuing a series of knowing God's name. And the name we're going to look at this morning is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, you're all supposed to say, I shall not be in want next, but there you go. So I need some sheep. I need some little sheep. Is there any little sheep? We've got one sheep. Any more sheep? Is there any more sheep anywhere? Any little children want to be? Oh, yeah. We've got a little shy sheep here. We've got a tiny sheep here. Any other little sheep? We've got a couple. We've got one anyway. Are you Solomon? So we're going to go through about what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd, God our shepherd. And right the way through the whole of the Bible, let me just give you a couple of little quotes. The first mention of the shepherd in the Bible, right throughout the whole of the Bible, Old and New Testament, God keeps referring to himself and Jesus as the shepherd. And it says in Genesis 48:15, it says, then he blessed Joseph. This is Jacob blessing his sons. He's blessing Joseph and his two sons. It says, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And he's talking about Joseph's sons. So we see his shepherd at the beginning, and then at the end, in Revelation, it says this, and we'll come back to this one as well in a minute. He's waiting to be a sheep. He's a very patient sheep. He's a very good sheep, very handsome sheep. You want to take a little seat? A little sheep seat there. You can have a little seat, and I'll get... Good lad. So this is in Revelation 7:17. It says, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne, so right at the beginning in Genesis, then here at the end in Revelation, it says, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So, there's three things that Jesus referred to as the shepherd. One, it's Solomon, do you want to come here? And you can help me here. So, first of all, we'll get everybody to do this. You keep an eye on everybody, make sure they're doing it. So, first of all, we have the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Remember the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Thumbs. The good shepherd. Yeah. The great shepherd. And the chief shepherd. Okay, you can sit back down there now. So the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. I'm going to look at those three things. First of all, he's the good shepherd who lays down his life. Well done, Chris. He's the good shepherd that lays down his life. He lays down his life for us. Absolutely awesome. Let me just read to you from John's Gospel, chapter 10, where Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the greatest thing for all of us, that Jesus laid down his life for all the sheep. Not just those of us that know him, but those who don't. Jesus laid down his life for all of us. He says himself he doesn't want us to be, you know, scattered and left abandoned. He wants us to be looked after. He's the good shepherd because he lays down his life for all people. Wherever you think you are with God, wherever you think you are in life, Jesus died on the cross for you. Sometimes people say, I wonder what Jesus was thinking about when he died on the cross. Well, he's thinking about you and me. That was his whole purpose for going to the cross. It wasn't some sort of religious act. It wasn't something that we could just look back on as, oh yeah, Jesus died historically for us. No, it's an absolute, up close, personal, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, personally. He knows your name. The Bible says he knows all about us. He knows every hair of our head. He's numbered them. He knows everything about us. He says he knitted us together in our mother's womb, it says in Psalm 139. He knitted us together in the secret place. He knew all of your days before one of them came to be. That's personal, isn't it? His death on the cross was personal. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and fell away from God and fell out of a relationship with God, the whole purpose of God from that point on was to win us all back, with the emphasis on all. He wants everyone to come to know him. Whatever the circumstances of our life, whatever the sense of our life, whatever the purpose of our life, whatever we think of ourselves and what we've been in the past and who we are now and who we're going to be, whatever our identity is irrelevant. What we think of ourselves, our identity, is utterly irrelevant. Let that sink in. Whatever you've been called to do in your life, whatever you think you're doing, whatever you think you are, whoever you think you are, that is utterly irrelevant compared to this unsurpassing fact that you are or can be a child of God. That you can come into a relationship with him through Jesus' death on the cross. He died for you. So his blood would cover everything about us, would cover all of our sins, all of our greatest sins and all of our greatest successes, however wonderful they may be, whoever we think we are, whatever we think we are, what we think of ourselves, what anybody else thinks of us is utterly irrelevant. What's important is our reputation in heaven. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, lays down his life for us to give us the opportunity to come into a relationship with him. And here's a question for you. Have you done that? Have you come into a relationship with Jesus? Have you thanked him for dying on the cross for you? Have you accepted his forgiveness, his total forgiveness? Received him as your Lord and Savior? He has purchased you on the cross. He died for you so you could have a relationship with him. That's the good shepherd. He doesn't take an evening off, doesn't take a weekend off. He's totally always faithful, always calling out to us from the cross, that he laid down his life for us and that we can come into a relationship with him. That's an awesome thing. The good shepherd who bought us. Is that good news? It is good news. And yet everybody rejects it. We were out with some Christian, non-Christian friends on what night was it? Friday. And about 20 of them. Marion and I were the youngest, so it was quite an aging crowd, you know. And people's ideas about who they are and what they've done, and it's really sad. And then one of the lads who'd had, obviously, had a few two beers and was sick of me telling him about Jesus, went up to him and he just went, "We're all going to die." I said, "Correct. We are all going to die," because that's usually what I say to him. And I said, "But the question is where you go when you die. The length of your life isn't important. Did you know that? The quality of your life isn't important. It's where you go at the end. That's what's important. This life is really short, and where we go at the end is important. And the good shepherd Jesus laid down his life so that we can come into a relationship with him here. Have the best of him, even though at the same time you can have the worst of this world. You can still have the best of him in the midst of that and go to heaven when you die. That's good news. He's also not just the good shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. Solomon. Great shepherd. Who got up too early? He got up early this morning, he said. He said, "It was very early when I got up last night." So let me just read to you from Hebrews chapter 13, the Good Shepherd. It's Lair Solomon, the Good Shepherd. The Great Shepherd. Hebrews 13:20. "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." Wow. He's good because he died for us on the cross, laid down his life for us. And he's great because he rose from the dead. No other religious leader has done that. And Jesus hated religion, by the way, just in case you're wondering. But no other world leader has ever come back from the dead. That's why he's the great shepherd. Jesus, who rose from the dead, back from the dead. The great Jesus, the power of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. I don't know what age some of you have come to faith in Christ. I was 37 when I became a Christian. And, you know, the me that I was presenting to the world was the all-sorted, organized, clever, brilliant, doing great one. But obviously I knew that the real me was much different from that. But when I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it was like all that I wanted to be and more suddenly came to life. I realized, oh, I'm going to be the husband I've always wanted to be. I'm going to be the father I've always wanted to be. I'm going to be the friend and family member to people I've always wanted to be, but failed miserably at. It's like, you know, it's getting a second chance, the slate being wiped clean. And that's the same for us every single day. If you're in Jesus Christ, you wake up every day, you're in Christ, just like the moment you were saved, totally forgiven, fully in a relationship with him, resurrected from your old life, you've died to your old life. There's still some remnant of that. Thank you, Julie. There's still some remnant of that. We're still affected by the world. This isn't heaven. You know that, don't you? This is not heaven. Good news. This is not heaven, right? We're affected by this world. The negative things of this world are at us all the time. But Jesus, the great shepherd, drawing us always continually to him with his resurrection power, it's like a big magnet that you cannot escape from. You come into a relationship with God and he draws you in, drawing you ultimately into heaven with his resurrection power. And if you're being drawn by the magnet of God at the cross, being drawn to heaven by Almighty God, you might feel as if like, well, I'm not worth it. Correct. I'm not worthy. Correct. I'm useless, probably correct. But he draws us all in anyway. Once you're saved, you're saved. The best of us and the worst of us, wherever we think we are, we're totally saved. It's not like, you know, some people are more saved than others. You know, like Mother Teresa or somebody, properly saved, real Christian. And then at the other end, there's me, hoping with just to get a little drop of Jesus' blood on the end of my finger to scrape in by the skin of my teeth. No. Absolutely not, because when Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection power reaches out across, you know, 2,000 years, 2,000 miles, reaching out from Jerusalem, reaching out to us across time and space, touching every heart that wants to be touched, saving every person that wants to be saved, drawing to himself every person that wants to come to him. Jesus, it says in John's gospel that we all have the right to become children of God. You probably heard me say it. It's one of my favorite little scriptures. We all have the right to become children of God. The world is obsessed with rights. Equal rights, you know, human rights, civil rights, equality, diversity. It's supposed to mean the same thing, but they're two different words. Ridiculous. But actually, what about God's rights? What does he want? There's no such thing as a human right. You know that. We have no right to anything. But we have the right, Jesus says, to become children of God. Is that good? We come to faith in Jesus Christ, that's it. You've got everything you need on earth and in heaven, regardless of what's happening around you, regardless of what's happening in your life. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. You can always appeal to him, always appealing to the right hand of the Father, always appealing to Jesus, the great shepherd who rose from the dead. Have you got that resurrection power in your life? Are you still failing in your old ways? Or do you have that resurrection in your power that is constant in your life, that's constantly changing you and making you more like Jesus? Or do you feel as if that's not happening for you? And at the end, what we'll do is, just to give the band a prompt, we'll sing that last song that we did again at the end. And we'll sing the words like we really mean it, and to believe it for ourselves and to receive it for ourselves. Absolutely. The good shepherd who died on the cross for us. The great shepherd who rose from the dead. And the chief shepherd. And this is to do with rewards. Let me just read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. It says, and the chief, and when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus this is, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a mistake that we can make, that we have to work to earn something extra, when actually when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've got everything you could possibly have. The reward is already yours at the point that you come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's good and right to do things working for God, to work for him, to bring glory to his name. That's our purpose, to bring glory to his name. Not to earn his favour, but it's possible as Christians to get that mixed up. I've been a really bad person. I better do something good for God quick to earn his favour. It's not true. You can't. You can't earn his favour. There's nothing you can do. Once you come into a relationship with him, you've already got that favour as a free gift, received it. The good shepherd, because he redeemed us, he bought us. The great shepherd, because he rose from the dead, was resurrected. And the chief shepherd for reward. That's good news, isn't it? Where are we headed? We're headed for a reward. We're headed for heaven. I don't know how much you're looking forward to that. I am. Hallelujah. I'm 61, so, you know, how long have I got left? Well, not as much as my life ahead of me as is behind me, that's for sure. If life is measured in the days of the week, I think I'm on Friday or something, almost Saturday, I don't know. But I'm towards the end, aren't I? But the end of this life, but not the end of the life, not the end of life itself. I'm going somewhere. I'm heading somewhere. Are you? I am. And I'm happy about that. And I'm pleased about that. And I'm looking forward to that. But brothers and sisters, some Christians fear death, aren't absolutely 100% sure of where they're going and what it's going to be. But you should be. You can be, you ought to be, you must be. Otherwise, this life isn't much fun. Because what happens is, if you have a wrong conception of what heaven will be, then you try to put more effort into making this life all right, all good, all a waste of time. Some of our dearest friends are the same age as us. They're both out of work now. And they've got about £500,000, they were telling us, left to live on for the rest of their life. And I'm like, how long do they think they're going to live? That's a lot. I said, you're going to have to work really hard to spend that. You're going to have to do a lot of traveling, a lot of holidays, a lot of eating out to spend all that money in the time that you've got. And if you do all that, you're probably going to shorten it anyway. But listen, this life isn't it. It isn't it. And we can be swung by this life, you know, tempted by the good things, terrified by the bad things, both of which are utterly irrelevant because we're heading somewhere else, a glorious place. And if you're listening to the Martin's Daily Grace talks at the moment, if you're not, you should be. Because Martin's going through the book of Revelation and talking about the greatness of coming to a relationship with God and heaven, the reality of that. Christianity is not about now only. It's about for always. The chief shepherd who carries his rod and his staff, the rod to punish us. Nobody likes to be punished, but the Bible says it's good for us, apparently, that we need to be, you know, the rod to tell us off, to rebuke us. It's good for us to be rebuked and humbled by God because it grows us. It's good for us. And we shouldn't shy away from it when God speaks to us and challenges us, things like, you know, things that we do. I remember at work one time I'm one of these people that sort of just blurts out my opinion in meetings and stuff. And my boss, who I had very little respect for, called me into her office and said, oh, you seem to be struggling a bit recently. I wasn't struggling. I was just knacked with everybody. It was just slightly different. And she said, you know, maybe if you could just be a bit nicer to people in meetings, that would be really helpful. I was like, do I have to, you know? I said, yeah, no problem. And I was so knacked with myself because I knew that what I should have done is I should have gone to God first, repented of my attitude towards people, and sort of taken his rebuke, but I let it go, and then God really humbled me by getting a non-Christian who I have no respect for to tell me off. Really upset. And anyway, so what was my point? Now, nobody likes to be punished. But listen, to be rebuked by God and put in your place by God is good. To be, you know, encouraged to do things by God is good for us. And to see God in everything. God is over everything. God is sovereign. You're a Christian. God's in everything. So when something's happening to you, good or bad, what is God saying? Where is God's hand in it? And if you can't work it out and it makes no sense, God is still in it. God is still there with you. You can go through all sorts of difficulties and adversity in life. But if God is with you, that's it, isn't it? That's all you want. Would you want a good life without God? Or a really difficult life with God? Well, honestly, I'd take a really difficult life with God every day. Because the ultimate reward is so great. And his staff to rescue us. There's a great story about Charles Spurgeon. He was having a great day preaching and doing stuff, and his wife was at home with their twin boys, having a terrible time, because the boys were just playing up all the time, giving her grief all day, and she got really, really cross with them. In the end, she said, "When your father comes home, I'm going to get him to beat the pair of you." And this is the days of, like, you know, beating kids with belts and stuff. And so the kids were like, "Oh my goodness," you know. So they behaved themselves the rest of the day. And when Charles got home, he was really happy. He'd had a good day. He'd been praying and preaching and stuff. And he was really happy and looking forward to seeing his family and the boys. And his wife meets him at the door and stops him in his happy tracks and says, "The boys deserve a good beating. I told me you would beat them. Don't you go back on my word. Give them a good beating." So he's like, "Great." So he says, "Right, come on, boys." He takes them into the bedroom, slams the door. He takes his belt off. And he gives the boys a little nod, and he starts thrashing the bed, right? He hits the bed, whack, and the boys go, pretending that he's mocking, that he's smacking them, but he's not. He's beating the bed, and the boys are pretending to scream and be. And after a while, his wife shouts, "I think that's enough, Charles." That's called grace. And God's grace is always extended to us. Sometimes we want to tell ourselves off. We want to beat ourselves up for the things we've done wrong. But that's not God's way with us. God absolutely loves us. In Psalm 3 it says that he lifts up our head. And what I wanted to say to you this morning is let God lift your head. Let him lift you up from whatever difficulty you've been in. Julie, do you want to come back with the band? We're going to sing that song again. If you don't know Jesus, then come to faith in him this morning. Jesus said, just believe. Just believe. Just decide. Right, okay. I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a Christian. Martin and I were doing some outreach work at a Christian conference. One of those strange conferences where you get thousands of Christians and a couple of really grumpy non-Christians that have been dragged there by their friends and family. And there was one girl, and she was not interested. She was educated, which was a real problem for me and Martin. And she wasn't interested at all. But on the last day, on the fourth day, she came back and said, "I've done it. I've become a Christian." And she got the pictures. She was watching a Christian film at the cinema. And she was just sat there. Can you remember the film she was watching? The Miracle Maker. And halfway through the film, she just put aside all her questions and thought, "Why not?" And just came to faith in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, you can just do that. You don't have to work it out. You just have to be willing. Just believe in Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? So if you don't know Jesus, I just encourage you, come to him this morning. Just say, "Look, Jesus, I choose to believe in you. Whatever it means, whatever the cost, I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong in my life. And I ask you to forgive me, and I receive that forgiveness now in the name of Jesus." And for those of you who do know Jesus, you know, heaven is waiting for us. Heaven is coming. That's where we're headed. What will become of Amazing Grace Church? But we'll all end up in heaven. That's where we're not headed, to the casino, you know that. Make sure you cheer more loudly about going to heaven than you do about going into the casino. Rent free. So we've been purchased. Cost free to us. Big cost to Jesus. And Lord, we ask you this morning to lift our heads. Lift our heads up to you, Jesus. Lift our heads up. Make us to see who you are and what you are. and what it means to live in a relationship with you. Amen.